like you would think that you'd approach that and be blaming her and being like, why did I agree to that? But knowing you and knowing the beautiful chaos that your brain is, you're like, no, this is all me. I chose this. This is my fault. This is my thing. Welcome to ADH Derpcast with Stephen and Merv. What have you been up to? How are things going for you?
I've been up to my eyeballs. So,
wait.
Rachel has wanted to surprise the kids with Disneyland for a good while, like since the start of the year. We were supposed to go last year, but then we had kind of family situations pop up and we weren't able to really do it the way we wanted to, so we had to cancel. So she decided that we were going to do it this year before she has the baby, which means before the third trimester, which is kind of just starting now. So we sent off the kids' passports to be renewed because they were all coming up out of date. And because we're not parents, we're guardians, there was a load of back and forth with the passport office. You know, they were really nice, but just really kind of, there's no processes in place for these kind of situations, you know? So there was a lot of back and forth, requesting documentation, requesting wills and, you know, court orders and stuff like this. But it took an awful long time. I think, like, overall, it took the guts of 3 or 4 months before we finally got them back. So as soon as we got the passports back for the kids, Rachel just went ahead and booked the trip to Disney 3 days. We were there last week. We went on Thursday, or we went on Tuesday morning, a.m., and we came back on Friday evening. But it just so happened to be, unfortunately, kind of as far as we could push it out before the third trimester, but also falling right in the middle of the busiest time for my college stuff. So I had a test on the Saturday morning after we got back. I had a test, so I had no time to study for it, really. I studied for it on Saturday morning. But yeah, so Disney all last week, it was fantastic. But then test on Saturday. And then, what day is it today? Monday, my God. That seems like weeks ago.
I got tested only 2 days ago.
Yeah, so we had our engineering project presentation today, just at 7 o'clock there. So there was a kind of a push to get the article finished, the academic poster finished, and then actually construct the presentation. There's 3 other guys on my team, so we all shared presenting it to our supervisor. You know, 3 or 4 slides each, whatever it was. So getting that done today. And now also, up until Sunday, I have another huge assignment due on Sunday and another one on Monday. But Rachel's taken me away on a spa night away, which was a Christmas present, on Saturday. So I kind of need to get them done, at least the majority of them done, by Friday evening so we can have free, you know, free Saturday and free Sunday. So it's just wild. It's just absolute chaotic. And my brain is struggling to, one, do the assignments because they're really difficult to understand and gauge, you know, in terms of a step-by-step or a guideline or a framework, what needs to be done. And then, two, just trying to articulate to myself that this needs to be done at this time while also kind of trying not to scrimp on other things that need to be done. So...
Yeah,
it's just been like, really, really wild.
That sounds like the intensity is off the charts. And I like it's kind of almost counterproductive because you're trying to clear the slate so you can enjoy the spa weekend. But to clear the slate, you need to almost like increase your stress levels and to be able to like relax for the spa weekend, which is... Like that's it's counterintuitive, like to say the least. But hopefully, when you actually get that work out of the way, you'll be able to like just switch off and just enjoy some treatments and a bit of R&R with Rachel and just chill.
Yeah, it will be nice because we don't get to spend an awful lot of time together.
No.
You know, we went, what was the last thing we did? The last thing we did was go to the maternity hospital together. We had a couple of hours together doing that. And then other than that, you know, it's the very rare occasion where we have some time together just as ourselves and not as, you know, parents or whatever it may be. So it's going to be really nice. Now, I had a conversation with a colleague, an old colleague, good friend. Last week, she's starting up her own business. And we're kind of trying to, you know, encourage each other in the ways that we needed to. So I was trying to encourage her in terms of, you know, getting her social stuff set up, starting to kind of just push herself out there rather than waiting until everything's perfect, which obviously we've gone through, you know, on the podcast side of things. I'm a perfectionist. So a lot of the stuff that we've put out already wouldn't have passed my perfectionism. But we've learned, you know, and this is what I was saying to her, you know, we've learned that it's better to be out there. It's better to go and not be perfect than to keep everything to yourself until it's perfect, because you're gaining experience and you're gaining, you know, traction behind all of that stuff that you're putting out. So anyway,
Take steps, learn from it.
But her advice and her, her challenge to me was not to take any college work or anything like that to Disney. And it was a struggle to reconcile that with the stress that I was under even before we'd gone to Disney, you know, because I knew what was coming around the corner, all the exams. The exams are next week, followed by the following week. But because I knew all that was coming, it was very difficult for me to accept that. You know, and especially because I was losing the week of study up until the test on Saturday when we came home. But I did it. I enjoyed it. I loved spending time with the family. You know, we spent 2 full days pretty much in Disney. The hotel we were staying in was lovely. It had a swimming pool, you know, all sorts of slides and stuff, soft play, and there was restaurants and stuff like that. So it was great. And it was really nice not to even think about college or anything like that, so it worked out in the end. But yeah, I'm paying in stress now as well for all of that.
Yeah, but like, it's, you got to switch off for a bit, but that kind of brings me to what I wanted to actually talk to you about, because like, that must have been like, not being over there, although it would have been building when you're over there, but like coming back and being like, oh, I have to do all this. I have to do all this stuff. I have to get this done. 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 And like, you can almost go into a spiral then of blaming yourself and going like, oh, why did I do this? Or why did I do that? Yeah. Looking back and going like, I should never have agreed to leave the college stuff. I never should have done this. I never should have done that. And that's the part that could be really hard to break. And like, when you're looking back and you're kind of, it's easy in those situations to start blaming yourself and like not accepting that in those moments you made those decisions for a reason, but just start going down a spiral of kicking yourself and blaming yourself and like being angry at yourself and stuff like that. And those are the times that I find like the worst. And it's only myself I'm ever angry at in those times. Yeah. Like, as you said, you were talking to a colleague and you were like, the challenge she gave you was to like leave the college stuff behind, go and enjoy it a few days. In hindsight and on reflection, logically, like you would think that you would approach that and be blaming her and being like, why did I agree to that? But knowing you and knowing the beautiful chaos that your brain is, you're like, no, this is all me. I chose this. This is my fault. This is my thing. And
usually it would be like that. But actually, you know what? Because of how the situation played out, I don't have any blame and I don't have any, I don't actually have any regrets. Like, if I'd have come back from Disney and not spend all of the time being present and being able to actively engage and even kind of subconsciously not being present. You know, if I had been there walking through the park, or, you know, the kids are excited and I was thinking about, you know, what I've got coming up on Saturday or anything like that, yeah, then I would have had regrets. Because it was such an important event for everybody, even though nobody, yeah, like, it wasn't important, but in terms of family bonding and stuff like that, which we don't often get to do, you know, even though we're all living under the same roof, we spend an awful lot of time together. Mm-hmm. We're kind of all going along in our own little trains and our own little life stories, our own little lifelines. And there's not often the potential for us all to be kind of together like that, in that way where we actually are together consciously.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably one of the reasons why it's the opposite of how it would usually be, you know, which is really lovely, because that doesn't happen very often.
No, it really doesn't. And actually, you've thrown me a curveball that I'm actually really happy you did, because I wanted to talk to you coming into this completely assuming that you would have been like effing and blinding and cursing everyone out of it, especially yourself, about taking that time away and getting mad overwhelmed, getting mad stressed.
Yeah.
But that sounds like you were actually able to fully separate in that moment from the external things that you needed to deal with when you were away. So that actually brings me to then what I want to ask you. How the fuck did you do that? Because that's a big problem that I have. Like, all through my life, I've always been like, I'd love to be able to do something like meditation. But when I've tried to do things like meditation, I've always been like, okay, I'm now, this is me listening to meditation. I'm now in a room. Yeah. I'm lying down. This is what I'm doing. Okay, after I do this is lovely and relaxing. But after I do this, what I'm going to do is go and do this. What I'm going to do is go and do this. Okay, this is like, well, I'm in 15 minutes now. I better go and do this now. I am so relaxed. And it never stops. It's constant.
It's amazing, yeah. So, like, I have a lot of experience with meditation. I don't know if we've talked about it before, but in my last job, I was the mindfulness ambassador for the Dublin office because I had such a good experience with learning how to meditate and be mindful and stuff like that. It had a really big impact on my mental and physical health when I started learning how to do it. But like you, as I started, it was very difficult to actually get through those kind of hyperactive, you know, they call it monkey mind, where you're trying your utmost hardest, you know, to just not think of anything. But then some thought comes into your head and it's like, oh, I've ruined it now. My meditation is gone. But really, when it comes down to it, and it's a similar thing to how Disney went and how I was able to separate it, is you have to be non-judgmental with what comes into your head. Your thoughts are going to happen, okay? Your thoughts are something that happened to you. They're not you. They're not a part of you. You have to let them happen. And if they do happen, you have to be, you can't be judgmental about them. You just have to accept them for what they are and let them breeze on by. So you're sitting there, you're doing your mindfulness meditation, and you think, okay, I need to hoover the stairs or whatever. You're like, now you're pissed off with yourself because you've thought about hoovering the stairs and you can't get rid of it. But what you need to do in that situation is say, okay, that thought just came into my mind that I need to hoover the stairs. I accept that thought came into my head, and now I'm going to let it go. I'm going to bring myself back to my breathing and focus on it. And that might happen, you know, 20, 30, 1,000 times in a 15-minute meditation. That's okay. But you need to allow it to move on, and then bring yourself back and center yourself again. And as you do that, and as you continue to kind of spend your time doing that, you become more aware of it and you're able to do it much quicker. It's like anything, you know, they call it meditation practice because that's what you're doing. You're practicing how to be non-judgmental with yourself, how to be one with yourself, and how to be present without thinking about things or without letting your thoughts take over. And that's kind of to bring it back again. That's kind of how it worked with Disney, because my colleague had said, look, just do this challenge. I was able to say, okay, well, that's my goalpost now. That's what I'm aiming for. That's what I'm going to do. I just set that kind of intention in my mind. And because I was going into Disney with the kind of preconceived destination being, I'm going to Disney, I don't have any college to think about. When any college did pop into my mind, I was like, okay, I'm thinking about it again, but look, there's Buzz Lightyear, look, the kids are happy running around, or, you know, diverting that attention away from the thing that I don't need to be putting my energy into, towards the stuff that I do want to be putting my energy into.
Right. Okay, I have a couple of questions. One, how do you stop that? How do you walk the line between staying in the moment and like pushing those not now thoughts, if you get me, away? And how do you tell the difference between that and procrastination? Because that's another, that's a total own problem. But also, mindfulness is something that's thrown around a lot. And as people with ADHD, mindfulness is a very often recommended tool to deal with the symptoms and stuff like that. And in my experience, because I've done so much therapy, I've done so much self-help stuff, I've done all the books of feeling the fear and doing it anyway, and the Alan Carr Way to Stop Smoking, and so many different self-help books over the years. And my experience with mindfulness and meditation has been what I said, where it's almost impossible to quiet that brain part, where it's like I'm in meditation, but I'm like, I'm narrating the experience to myself.
So let me ask a question then to follow up that. How long did you do it for in these circumstances?
That's what I was, that's exactly like the individual session or the like string of sessions?
Yeah, both.
Individual sessions, I've done two separate ones of 30 minutes or 60 minutes.
Okay.
And the, I think I tried to do it. I typically would do it like when I'm already in bed, and it wouldn't really be guided meditation. Actually, no, I did do quite a few guided meditations when I was struggling with sleep, and they were like guided meditations to help you sleep, guided meditations to like help with positive thoughts, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
While I was going asleep, but the goal was to go asleep and it, to like hit your subconscious and stuff like that. But I ended up just listening to the whole thing. Yeah. So that's my experience of mindfulness. Yeah. So you were a mindfulness ambassador. So because my conception or preconception of what mindfulness is just failed meditation. What is mindfulness? And what is, like, as I said, when people say mindfulness to me, that's me sitting in a darkened room.
Yeah.
Following a guided meditation. Obviously, it's more than that, but can you...
Yeah, so I want to bring it back first to the question I asked you about how long you did it for. Okay, yeah. So you said that you did two sessions of 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So if you were, say, learning the piano or learning, I don't know, something else, let's say crochet.
There you go.
Would you sit down for 2 30-minute sessions and then be like, nah, fuck, this isn't for me anymore?
Now, logically, the answer is obviously no. Yeah. But as people who hobby jump with ADHD, that's another whole big conversation, because it's common for people with ADHD to pick up a hobby and go, if I'm not an expert at this in one or two lessons, well, then it's going out the window. But logically, I know the answer is no. And obviously, you're going to put
why,
that in.
This is why meditation and mindfulness is, can be so difficult for people with ADHD, because we don't see the instant gratification of, oh, I can do mindfulness now. That's changed my whole life. You know, I feel so serene. I'm like the Buddha. I'm a guru. Come and talk to me. This kind of stuff. We don't get that, you know, and we don't get it.
But that's what's in my head.
Yeah, yeah. But that's why it's so difficult for people like us to do it. But the reason I was able to do it was because I had a really bad health situation a long time ago, a good few years ago. We probably talked about it before. But it put me into a really bad place in terms of my anxiety, and I was worried about what I was eating. You know, I was afraid to eat things, drink things. I was afraid to go outside the house and all this kind of stuff. And there were so many negatives happening to me that I turned to mindfulness to try and help me with that. And as I practiced, I could feel myself relaxing more. I could feel the anxiety drift away, even if it was just a tiny bit, you know. And because I did get that instant gratification, it might not have been exactly instant, you know. Maybe it was a couple of sessions or whatever it might have been. But it was gratification much earlier than if you were trying to do 2 30-minute sessions. Because if I tried to get you to sit down to do anything for 30 minutes, your mind is going to wander. Okay, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be crochet. It could be sitting here on the podcast. It could be, you know, playing a game that you're really into. Regardless of what the thing you want to sit down to do for 30 minutes is, you are going to get distracted. And that's going to happen an awful lot for people with ADHD. So what you need to do is take it back to the start, take it back to the beginning, and try to do really, really tiny bits. Okay, you can do mindfulness any time of the day. You don't need to sit down in the dark room. You don't need to have any guided meditations. All mindfulness is trying to forget about the past, don't worry about the future, and just experience life as it is right now, right in this second. And that's all it is. You can do it right now. Close your eyes. Count your breaths for 5 seconds. That's mindfulness. You can do it any time of the day. You walk out the door to walk to the shop. You hear a bird chirping. Just pay attention to the bird. Listen to the wind bustle the leaves. Pay attention to what you can smell. All of these little things are tiny little bits of mindfulness you can do throughout the day. And as you kind of build those things up, as you work through understanding that, hey, I can actually go through my day and be 100% present in exactly this one moment, split second of a moment, then you can start to build it up. And you can do it in tandem. You don't have to do one or the other, but you could sit down, you know, for 30 seconds, a minute, 5 minutes, and try to do it. And if it doesn't work, that's fine. You come back and you try it again, maybe shorter time, you know. There's so many ways to do it, but really it's just all about forgetting everything, letting everything go, experiencing life as it is right now at this moment.
Oh, my assumptions of what it was are so off. Okay. No, that sounds like something I can actually adapt and like build on. I said that I had a couple of things to ask you. I think this is a pretty big subject, and I think it's got a lot more
episode.
I know we've gotten in trouble for that, but I think we should, I want to say it in a different way, come back to it another time.
Yeah, where look, we can explore it in more depth. 100%.
Yeah. I'd love to get other people's opinions of it, or especially people who have ADHD, people who have used it as a tool. And because it's like, it's something I've always wanted to do. Like, there's been so many times, like when I can't sleep, which is rare, to be perfectly honest, I can normally like just fall asleep at the drop of a hat. But the times I can't sleep, it's like I cannot sleep. I'm wide awake. It's like it's the middle of the day. The times that it's like that,
actually.
Yeah, so I had one of those.
Yeah, yesterday I didn't take my meds. I kind of hadn't been taking them religiously in Disney, but yesterday I didn't take them. It was too late, and I didn't want to take a late dose. And I found my monkey brain going absolutely bananas at bedtime, and I just could not sleep. I just kept kind of... Now, usually when I lie down to go to bed, I do kind of visualizations, or I think things through or whatever for a short period, and then I'm fine to go to sleep. But yesterday it was like a completely different level. And then when I had fallen asleep, I woke up very quickly afterwards, almost in a panic, which was really, really strange, you know, because when I have taken the medication, that monkey brain goes away and that anxiety goes away. And when I was a kid, I had a huge anxiety around going to sleep. I don't know why. That's a trauma to dig into with a therapist.
Yeah, that's
haven't done.
That's something to have. Get our claws into.
But it's crazy. It's crazy. But look, the thing about mindfulness is, so you're talking about meditation to help you sleep, which is really good because, you know, it can soothe your brain. It can help you to chill out and stuff like that. But the mindfulness side isn't mindfulness. People think of it as it's going to put you to sleep or it's going to send you into a trance or things like this, but it's not supposed to do that. It's supposed to, it's an active engagement. You're supposed to be actively practicing mindfulness. Whereas when you're trying to get yourself to go asleep, you want to passively be kind of put to sleep, if you know what I mean. Yeah. You're not trying to engage with the mindfulness. So it's two different sides of the spectrum. But yeah, I can't remember where we were going to.
Yeah, I was going to talk about how it actually feels for me when it's like that. Like, I've always described it that, like, when I have that kind of feeling, all the energy of my, like, existence is trapped in my head and I can't get it to dissipate. And that's when I can't sleep, that's what it's like.
Yeah.
And it's just like I'm forced into consciousness is the way it feels. So...
And does that take you out of that?
Exhaustion and falling asleep. Yeah.
That's literally what I was like up until my early 20s. I would stay up all night until I was completely exhausted and literally couldn't keep my head up anymore, that I had to fall asleep. I didn't have a choice. My body physically forced me to fall asleep.
I think it's like I've always been a pretty big reader, but when I was, again, same, late teens, early 20s, I was a voracious reader because I just had so much time. I was like just being awake reading constantly because I like the assumption was I wasn't going to sleep anyway, so I was just going to either do that or game or other things. But
That's where I wrote most of my songs, you know, the 2, 3, 4 a.m. in the morning in the sitting room with my unplugged electric guitar. Just coming up with things like this, the creative juices just seemed to fly when everybody else was in bed and I had no other distractions. I could just sit down and, you know, ooze whatever came out of me.
So many people say that actually, that their most creative time is when no one else is around, but there's no other distractions and like those kind of twilight hours.
Yeah, the witching hour.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people saying that kind of thing.
But, so yeah, I'm gonna issue you a challenge, okay? Because I want to change your perspective on mindfulness, because I know how powerful it can be from my own experience. So your challenge is, there's an app called Insight Timer, okay? Insight, INSIGHT, Timer. And you can download that. And in it, there's a 7-day kind of tutorial learning to meditate type thing program, and it's very short. You know, I think they're kind of between 3 and 7 or 15 minutes. There's one for each day, so you do one every day for 7 days. You kind of learn about what mindfulness meditation is supposed to be, what it's not supposed to be, little tips and tricks to help you to do it. And it's in those little kind of tiny bite-sized chunks rather than the 30-minute sit-downs where you're setting yourself up to fail and be pissed off with it. So give that a go, right? Try it. And if you're going through it and you feel, okay, I've done day one and day two, I feel like day three is a bit too much for me, go and do day two again or day one again. Mix and match, you know, and then build yourself up to day three, day four, day five, however you need to, whatever feels comfortable for you. But remember, the key thing is just let it happen. Okay, let the thoughts come and let them go. Bring yourself back to your breath or whatever the guide says, and don't judge yourself about it, because people who've been doing it for years and decades, they still get that monkey brain. They still get that situation where they get distracted and they get taken out of their presentness. The only difference is they know not to be judgmental about it and can bring themselves back to the present situation. So give that a go and keep it posted. And other people who are listening, give it a go as well.
Yeah, I'm like literally about to download it right now.
Nice.
So there's baby monitor popping up for my my squirrel of a child. Yeah, I'm going to install that right now. It's free. I can see, which is nice. I think, okay, I would suggest then that any of our listeners who want to do that as well, I think what we should do is link that app, both the Google Play Store and App Store links for that app, because I think there's a lot of people like me who will have misconceptions or like preconceived notions about what mindfulness is. So yeah, I invite, in the same way as you have challenged me, I challenge other people who are listening to this to also try that and see if it makes any difference, because I, whatever helps, I'll try anything once, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely going to do that. Thank you for the challenge and thank you for the suggestion and for the insight.
Nice one. Nice one. I'm like a Jehovah's Witness for mindfulness. I've let myself down for a long time now by not practicing. Even though I know how much benefit I get from it, I just, no matter how much I want to do it, I always find that there are other things more pressing that I need to spend my time on, which makes a lot of sense, you know, in the environment that I live in. There's always things to do, and there's always people to talk to or whatever it is. But like we've spoken about before, the gym, it's one of those self-care things that, you know, it's important, you know, you should do it, you know, the benefits are there. You just have to make time for it. And it's probably a challenge I need to take on myself to start spending more time self-caring in that way.
Yeah, actually, do you know what, that's exactly right, because we're talking to you as if you are an ambassador of mindfulness, but you've just admitted there that you don't devote as much time as you want to. So then I reissue your challenge back to you.
Uno
to do the same thing. To do the exact same challenge as well. Make time every day to practice mindfulness.
Yeah, and it's especially important, like not important, but for me it would be especially important in these circumstances, you know, where overwhelm and anxiety are cropping up, where stress is through the roof, you know, time is kind of running away from you. It's in those moments especially where being present and taking a step back allows you to kind of look at things in perspective. You know, I'm up the wall with everything that I need to do, but at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world if I don't get an A, or if I submit something late, or, you know, any of these types of things. The real situation is my family safe? Is my family happy? And that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know,
those are the real important things at the end of the day. And you kind of do need a nudge when you're in these situations to be able to say, hey, look, Jesus, just give yourself a break. Like, take a step back. You're on a kind of runaway train, but like, you just step off if you really want to.
Yeah. I'm inspired.
Nice.
Thank you very much, Harv. I think we can leave it there for today.
Okay.
Sweet. I think I just want to remind people to like, comment, subscribe, give us any and all feedback that you have. We absolutely thrive on feedback from people. We are actively listening. We actively respond and will actively change based on that feedback. We've already gotten feedback about certain aspects. We've talked about it and we've changed parts of the podcast as a result of that feedback. So absolutely, if you see something you like, let us know. If you see something you don't like, equally, let us know. If you have any requests, if there's anything you think we should talk about, absolutely let us know that. Anything you want to see us cover. And if there's anyone out there who has a like an interesting take on their experience with ADHD, or we haven't covered your experience of what ADHD is, or how you experience the symptoms of ADHD, or tips and tricks for other people who are dealing with ADHD, let us know. And like, we may invite you on to share your viewpoint, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to talk to people. We'd love to effort to have people talk to us about this. And if people are open to it, we'd absolutely love to have people on to talk as well.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that seems to bring, you know, the ADHD community together and kind of gets everybody more engaged than anything else. It's sharing experiences, sharing the tips and tricks.
I don't know if we've lost Harv. I don't know if that's my connection or Harv's connection. But yeah, okay. I think we will leave it there. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Feel free to like, comment, and subscribe, as we said. And join us for next time. And that's a wrap on another episode of ADH Threatcast. Please remember to share your journey and join us next time as we explore more ADHD-related adventures.